Hi, and welcome to the 2023 Fielding Bible Awards Announcement Show presented by Sports Info Solutions. I'm Mark Simon. I'm joined by SIS VP of Baseball, former Major Leaguer Bobby Scales. Hey, Bobby.
Mark, how are you? Always a pleasure to be with you.
This will be awesome. We're looking forward to talking Fielding Bible Award winners. We're here to announce the winners of the 2023 Fielding Bible Awards. You'll hear from a few of them. This is the 18th annual awards. It began in 2006, an idea devised by Bill James, along with SIS co-founder John DeWan. The idea was to honor the best defensive player at each position, not one in each league, but one player overall. We have something new this year. In the original memo that Bill wrote proposing the awards back in 2005-2006, he suggested voting on a defensive player of the year as well, and we're going to do that for the first time. It's a 16-voter expert panel consisting of former major leaguers, sabermetricians, and baseball media members, as well as aggregated votes from the Sports Info Solutions video scouts. Those are people who aspire to work in baseball. Each voter votes for 10 players at each position, ranking them 1 to 10, whatever criteria they wish. They also vote for a multi-position award, and they rank their top three choices for Defensive Player of the Year. You can see the full results at fieldingbible.com. And let's get to them. And we'll start at first base, finishing third in our voting from the Atlanta Braves three-time winner Matt Olson. Finishing second in our voting from the Milwaukee Brewers, the Major League leader in defensive runs saved there, Carlos Santana. And the winner of the 2023 Fielding Bible Award at first base is Christian Walker of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
This is Christian Walker's second Fielding Bible Award. He also won the award last season. Walker joins Albert Pujols and Matt Olson as the only first baseman to win a Fielding Bible Award in back-to-back years.
Bobby, you voted Christian Walker number one on your ballot. What do you like about him?
No, I did. I think what I like about Christian Walker, so for me, and we've talked about this on other episodes of this podcast, and I've talked about it other places as well, I think first base is the most undervalued and also the most undertaught position in the game, in the entire industry, from the big leagues on down to the lowest level of amateur baseball. And it's always been baffling to me because the first baseman, besides the catcher and naturally the pitcher, handles the ball more than anybody else on the field. So having a first baseman that can make all the plays that come to him at first base and then also make some exceptional plays and then also use the bag as a tool and an extension of him to record the out and just have that ability to just, as we define it, save runs from that position is extremely important to having a quality major league infield. And Christian Walker exhibits this in everything he does. You know, you listen to some of the stuff he does in the media, the way he talks about first base, the way he has honed his craft. And really, he's a late bloomer to the big leagues. He doesn't have a ton of service time, but he's a little bit older guy, too. So for him to have been able to do this in such a short period of time, repeat as a Fielding Bible Award winner, and have it another outstanding season over at that position is truly remarkable. And he's made that Diamondback infield much better as a result of having a guy over there that you know, if you just get it to him, he's either going to catch it, he's going to save an error for you. And that's hugely important.
Well, for Christian Walker last year, he joined Paul Goldschmidt as the only Diamondbacks to win at first base. Goldschmidt won multiple ones as well. Certainly, congratulations to Christian Walker as well for his team advancing to the World Series. Let's move to third base, finishing third in our voting from the Toronto Blue Jays, Matt Chapman. Finishing second in our voting from the Colorado Rockies, Ryan McMahon. And the winner of the 2023 Fielding Bible Award at third base in two of the last 3 years, Ke'Bryan Hayes of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Ke'Bryan Hayes has won the Fielding Bible Award at third base in two of the last 3 years. He led all third basemen in defensive runs saved in 2023 and is the runaway leader at the position since his debut in 2020.
And I think we've reached the point at which we can call Ke'Bryan Hayes the best defensive third baseman in baseball. Better than McMahon, better than Chapman, better than Arenado, better than whoever. Bobby, as someone who knows him well, what has he become at third base?
Well, he has become the defender that everybody thought he was going to become early on in his career. And I was fortunate enough to be with the Pirates for 4 seasons, 3 directly working with Key, more on the offensive base running side, but definitely just being able to watch him develop as a minor leaguer and then grow into a big leaguer and really be a difference maker at third base, not just a guy who's a good defender or a special defender, but a guy who makes a difference. And you have to account for him on that side of the diamond. The one thing that I have always thought, there's two pieces to his game that I've always thought that are just elite. And it takes players a long time to learn this at the major league level. And that is the ability to have a slow heartbeat and slow the game down and never panic. Brian Hayes never panics on virtually any ball you get to him. The second thing for me that is just elite with Key is his ability to hit the first baseman or hit the fielder in the chest with the throw. He does this. He doesn't do it every time. Of course, he makes fielding errors. But boy, oh boy, it is very few and far between where you don't see a strong, accurate throw from Brian Hayes. So if you put those two things together, it's interesting too, because unfortunately we had the passing of Brooks Robinson earlier on this year, and people always remarked about how he was not a fast person. You know, you talk to some of the old time guys who really got to see him play, or you know, you look at some of the video on him, he wasn't fast, but boy, in small spaces, he was quick. And he made really good decisions on the ball. And I look at Key and I think Key is not the greatest athlete on the planet. And this is not a knock on him. He's not a great athlete. He's a good athlete. He's not an elite athlete. But boy, in small spaces, his footwork is very clean. He gets off the ball very well. And in small spaces, in split second decisions, he makes them correctly, and he makes them correctly more often than not, putting him in a position to let his hands work and his feet work and then uncork a good throw. So there's so much to like in such a young player. And I want to give an honorable mention to a guy I saw up close and personal doing games for the Detroit Tigers this year. Ryan McMahon is an elite defender too. And it's just unfortunate that he's just in a spot where there's just another guy that's really, really, really good in front of him. So shout out to Ryan McMahon, but Brian Hayes has set himself in a class of his own.
It is, over the last couple of years, it is not Arenado and Chapman. It is Hayes and McMahon that have been the standard setters at the position. We'll hear from Cabrian in a second, but first I talked to Pirates manager Derek Shelton to get his take on what impresses him most about Cabrian Hayes.
I think the thing that impresses me the most is just the consistency. He's just so good, and like I've said numerous times to our local media, we get spoiled in Pittsburgh because Key Brian makes a lot of things that are really, really difficult look very easy. And because of that, you know, I think at times it goes unnoticed how good he is, because he makes really, really difficult plays look routine. I'm really happy that you guys realize that, recognize that, and are honoring him.
And we're joined by Cabrian Hayes, winner of the Fielder Mobile Award at third base for the second time in 3 years. Key, congrats. What was the year like for you defensively?
It was good. I mean, for the most part, I just try to go out there, be the same on me, kind of just going all the way back to just growing up. It's always funny for me whenever, like now that I'm winning awards, like for defense, just how far I've came from whenever I was 8, 19 years old, like my dad and my brother, because my brother that, he ended up pitching in the minor leagues. He was really good on defense too. So that's who I used to do a lot of my work with, like in the backyard. And I mean, he would always be on me about doing it the right way. Cause I mean, when I was younger, I kind of would get away with it because I had good hands and stuff, but they would always remind me though, just as you get older, when that ball starts coming harder and harder, you're not going to be able to get away with doing it that way. So yeah, I mean, just looking back how far I've came, just very thankful to have those, my dad and my brother in my ear constantly just telling me how important defense is, just because you're not going to be able to get 4 hits a game or hit a home run every game. You got to be able to impact the game different ways.
E, what was it like for you coming back from the back injury, and how did you work with your trainer's strength and conditioning to get better so that you could play at this elite level?
Kind of going back to last year's whenever the back stuff started, and I mean, I've never dealt with any back problems in my life, so that was a little bit of adjustment. Last year was kind of a headache, but this year kind of found some new things that helped, and then really ultimately find a good routine where, like, days where I felt like I was pretty jacked up, I could correct it really quick to where I could be out there on the field. So yeah, I mean, since I've gotten home, I've pretty much stayed on that as far as the back stuff, building on new kind of routine that I had going whenever I came off the IL. So hopefully next year I don't have to deal with it at all, and I could be available for a full 162.
Yeah, Key, you know, it's interesting now, man. First of all, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're actually starting to get some of the awards, and you've deserved them and you've earned them. We were together in the minor leagues a little bit. I think I caught up to you in 18 when you're in AA, when I came over with the Pirates. You know, now you're by no means not the old man over there, but you're an established veteran, 26 years old, you know, getting ready to be 27. You've seen some of these young bucks come through. You got the G1 Bays, you got the Mercanos, you got the Pagueros coming up. Spent some time in the big leagues this year. O'Neill Cruz next to you at shortstop before he went down. Do you find yourself? I know. Being a verbal, rah rah leader, that's not you. That's not your bag, and everybody understands that. But how are you impacting those guys as far as their defensive work and the way they go about their business? We've highlighted just how much of a professional you are and the way you go about it. You talked about how that's been imprinted upon you, even going back to your dad and your brother. How have you been able to impact those guys as they start to try to move the needle defensively?
Just fortunately, I think really 2020, whenever we had the satellite camp, that was when I first met Cagero. That was really the first time I'd spent a lot, extended time around Cruzy. And because they've always been a level or two below me. So I think that was really the first beginning of getting to really know those guys, getting to watch them play every single day. A lot of them, they're in the shoes I was in 2020 and 2021, just kind of trying to figure out routine wise, just figuring out how long the season is, what you need to do day in and day out to keep that longevity and that consistency through the season. And I'm one of the older guys now on the team. So a lot of those young guys, they're looking and asking and watching to see what I'm doing, whether it be body language, all that type of stuff throughout a whole season. So, especially this year, I kind of, in my head, I really saw that, especially when I got the spring training, I'm like, man, I'm the oldest guy on the infield now. So outside of when we had Santana and G-Man. So at the end of the day, I just try to go out there and be a example of just doing things the right way, being consistent, really just getting to know my teammates better, just because a lot of those guys are looking at me to see what I'm doing to be a leader out there. So me and Brian, because we pretty much have the most experience now on our team. So it's been fun getting to know all of those guys, getting to really guys who've gotten in trades, Marcano, Pagueiro. We have Jack Sawinski. We have a lot of talent, a lot of young talent. And I think it's just those guys getting experience. And I think this year was a really big year for a lot of those guys because they got to play extended amount of time, got extended opportunity, and you really got to see what everyone can do. So I just feel like the future's bright in Pittsburgh. And next year, we really, 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 really want to be in the playoffs. So I think this year if you take away May was our rough month in the year. If we could win a couple extra games in May, we're right there in the hunt for a wild card. So I think just going into next year, everyone's hungry and we want to be in the playoffs.
Key, this is a long question, but stay with me here. I know that you don't necessarily concern yourself with fielding stats, but we track both errors and what we call misplays. And misplays are plays that aren't called errors, but they could be. And your number for this year in particular, combining misplays and errors, was super low. And someone pointed out to me that that's particularly impressive because of how shallow you play at third base. And essentially, you're in a lot of cases challenging guys to beat you. You play among the most shallow third base positions in the majors. With all that said, how do you stay mentally prepared so as to limit your mistakes?
I think just for me, kind of just working with our infield coordinator whenever I first got into the minor leagues, I feel like the mental side has been the biggest thing for me, just playing outcomes in my head before they even happen. Really just knowing the runners, knowing who's pitching on the mound, what type of hits or whoever's pitching, where they guys in the lineup, how they hit the ball off that pitcher. For me, I try to think about all that type of stuff. And even whenever I've hit or something and I'm waiting in the dugout, I'm thinking about who's coming up next. What happens if this guy gets on? What are the chances of him still? I try to break down everything that way. Whenever it does happen, I kind of just let my instincts take over. I feel like all that type of stuff outside of just getting your everyday work in. Even breaking it down to, my first select ball team I played on out in Houston, Texas, they were called the Texas Americans. For practice, we would wear a Superman shirt. We'd have to hit that logo whenever we're playing catch. So, really just all that type of stuff I take into account every day whenever I'm doing my ground balls, playing catch, that way, whenever the game time comes, everything's just natural. I just go out there and just kind of play off my instincts and just trust myself.
That was Ke'Bryan Hayes, Fielding Bible Award winner at third base. Let's move on to second base, where we had a pretty tight vote. Finishing third in our voting from the Chicago Cubs, Nico Horner. Finishing second in our voting from the Texas Rangers, Marcus Semien. And the winner of the 2023 Fielding Bible Award for second base is Andrés Giménez of the Cleveland Guardians.
This is Andrés Giménez's first Fielding Bible Award. He finished second in voting last year. He led all second basemen with 23 runs saved and closed the season by winning co-defensive player of the month honors.
I remember when the Mets traded Andrés Giménez in the Francisco Lindor deal, and I thought that this would happen. I actually thought that it could happen at shortstop. It winds up happening at second base. Bobby, what impresses you about Andrés Giménez?
Andrés Giménez plays second base like he plays shortstop, right? And what do I mean by that? I think what we saw this year, and this, again, that's funny. I work for a sports data company, and I don't have hard data to support this, but I'm going to say anecdotally, from the baseball I saw, and I saw a lot of baseball this year, it was suspected early on that the second base position was going to go back to a more traditional second base position. That guy is going to have to be able to make some plays both right and left, because you literally just can't put people on that side of the diamond to cut the distance down that they have to cover this year. I mean, you're not going to see the Mike Moustakas at second base. You weren't going to see the Keston Hiura at second base, because you could put them within 3 or 4 feet of most of the balls they're going to have on that side of the diamond. You were going to have a guy like Andrés Giménez that was probably on a lot of teams able to play shortstop and play shortstop at a high level, but he's at second base because of the value he brings there, and you have a very capable shortstop next to him. That was the case, and he did a tremendous job all year playing second base like a shortstop and playing second base very aggressively. And when I say those things, I think of guys like Roberto Alomar. Roberto Alomar probably could have played shortstop, but he was so good at second base. He was a magician on the turn, and he was excellent to his left in that hole, excellent on the backhand, and had a strong enough arm to make those backhand plays with the middle. That's what I see in Andrés Giménez. And it was a joy to watch, again, in working for the Tigers some this year and seeing those guys quite a bit in Cleveland. I was able to watch him firsthand. And again, this isn't one of those situations where if I didn't see it, it didn't happen, of course. But boy, when you get an opportunity to get eyes on guys and you see them make plays and you see them make the routine play, you see them make the play left, you see them make the play right, you see him on various turns, a couple bad feed turns, you see the turn that's tight with a good runner at the plate where you really got to let it cut it loose. He made all those plays and made all those plays consistently. And it was a joy to watch, and it was made a difference on that infield. And again, that second base position is going to be a little bit different going forward as the rules on the shift continue to evolve.
He's so good. He really is fantastic at second base. Let's move on to shortstop. We're finishing third in our voting from the Colorado Rockies is the impressive rookie Ezequiel Tovar. Finishing second in our voting from the Milwaukee Brewers, Willie Adames. And the winner of the 2023 Fielding Bible Award for shortstop is Dansby Swanson of the Chicago Cubs.
Dansby Swanson wins his first Fielding Bible Award. He was the only unanimous selection among this year's winners. Swanson led all shortstops in defensive runs saved with a career-high 18.
That Cubs infield is so good, particularly up the middle with Horner and Swanson. Swanson took a big step forward this year, much better on balls in the shortstop third base hole than earlier in his career. Bobby, tell us what makes Dansby Swanson so good.
You know what's interesting about that, and I'll go back to my scouting days, and this is one of those things where, you know, we have scout school here at SIS for our internal video scouts to try to learn more about the evaluation of players, both amateur and professional. And I always, there's a couple cases I always use, and Dansby Swanson was one of those cases that I used. And the reason I say that is because I saw him in 2016. He was in Double A, and then I was fortunate enough to catch him when he got moved from Double A to Triple A. And I had him as an everyday regular. I think I put a 6 on him, which is an above average regular major league player with an opportunity to become an all-star. He's done that. I liked his offensive ability. I liked his defense ability going to his left and balls right at him. The one thing I did question was, did he have enough arm strength to consistently make that play in the hole? And it's funny that that's where he made his biggest jump, biggest step forward this year. And at an advanced age, Dansby Swanson is not what you would call a young player. He's a college player, so naturally, you know, he got to the big leagues a little bit later than most. But it was great to see. And the Braves made a decision to move on from him because they liked what they had coming in the Grissom kid, and they went out and got Arcia, and it proved them correct. But boy, he was tremendous all year. And to your point, on that ball slightly to his right and in the 5-6 hole, he was tremendous. You go back, you look at some of the plays, you look at some of the video, And he was really, really, really good at those balls. And that's what put him over the top, I would assume. And I'll be honest, I did vote him first. I believe, I think I had Ezekiel Tovar second. And that's, you talk about a good young player who's on the come. He's going to win one of these at some point. But at the tip of the cap to Dansby Swanson for making that level of jump on those balls to his right in the 5-6 hole at this point in his career.
Only player to win unanimously among our voting pool. Before we move on to the outfield, a quick commercial. Just letting people know that for all your favorite defensive stats, you can head on over to the all-new fieldingbible.com. We've redesigned the website to make it more user-friendly and added more stats about your favorite players. Check it out now at fieldingbible.com. Let's move on to center field. We're finishing third in the voting from the Chicago White Sox, Luis Robert Jr. Finishing second in the voting from the Colorado Rockies, the impressive rookie again, Brenton Doyle. And the winner of the 2023 Fielding Bible Award for center field is Kevin Kiermaier of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Kevin Kiermaier is the only player to win three Fielding Bible Awards for center field. He finished second at the position in defensive runs saved and was a big reason why the Blue Jays led the majors in runs saved.
Bobby, how does someone as old as Kevin Kiermaier at age 33 still make it work as a center fielder when he's going up against all these young kids?
Yeah, I tell you what, I don't know. And I'll be honest with you, because I'm well past that age myself, but I played my second to last season at 33 and my last season at 34. And the stuff that you have to do to prepare at that age and stage of your career is really different and difficult. And I was playing second base in the infield over in Japan. To cover that amount of ground consistently to do the things that are necessary to be done in center field, period, is difficult. To do it at an advanced age is very difficult. That's the age you see a lot of guys go into a corner, and then the profile changes because you got to bring more bat to the party when you go to a corner and out of the field. But Kevin Kiermaier, especially coming off injury as he did last year, I don't know him and I haven't spoken to him, but I would imagine it was a point of focus for him through the offseason and early in the season this year to establish the fact that he's back from injury. He's a little bit older, but boy, I'm sure he's smarter. The guys are getting pitch calm in their ears out there in the outfield if they want it. Understanding swings, understanding his pitching staff, understanding who's hitting. You know, there's two simultaneous arcs in your career. You have your athletic arc, and then you have your professional knowledge arc, let's call it. And if you're a smart player, Kevin Kiermaier, we know, is a pretty smart individual and a pretty smart player. That professional knowledge, that industry knowledge, that how you go about playing your position, that just continues to increase because you learn more, you see more, you've got more reps doing it, you've been in the battles. The professional, the physical arc clearly goes down. We know Father Time's undefeated. But you have a window of time during that point of your career where you can slightly overcome your physical deficiencies if you have enough intelligence and professional knowledge. And that's where it seems to be where he is at this point in his career. He's in that window, and then there becomes a window where you can still see things, but you just can't get to them. And hopefully, for his sake, he's not there yet. But based on him winning a Fielding Bible and doing so in fairly convincing fashion, he's not there. So tip of the cap to Kevin Kiermaier for winning another Fielding Bible Award. Done it in Tampa, got one now here in Toronto, and he did an excellent job for that Blue Jay outfield.
Kevin Kiermaier, a three-time Fielding Bible Award winner and the winner in center field for 2023, joins us. Hey, Kevin, congratulations.
Hey, Mark, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm a big believer in foreshadowing, and when you made that great catch in your first game at Rogers Center, I said, he might be all right. What's the season like for you?
Yeah, I was, you know, very happy with how things went. You know, at the end of the day, I always know I could be better. Would definitely love to have a lot of plays back, but that's just the way baseball goes sometimes. But I was happy with how I performed out there. Being 33 years old, Blue Jays wanted me to come in and play center field, and I said, well, I trained to play the best defense possible at that premium position, and I'm going to try to do everything in my power to give you guys gold glove caliber type of defense out there, or fielding Bible defense, if you will. And I think I did just that. And, you know, I wanted to be one of the best nine-hole hitters in the game. So I knew my role this year, and I'm very happy with how things went.
We've talked to a number of players this season about working with strength and conditioning to put their body in position to play the different positions that they've played. You only played 63 games in 2022. What work went into getting ready for 2023?
Oh, man. Well, had to, you know, have a surgery last August, and then it was rehab all off season. And for me, it was just getting back to the point of being able to move out there with the quickness, agility, top end speed, you know, getting all the jumps that I need in the outfield that haven't been easy to do the last couple seasons because my labrums have been all sorts of messed up and torn. And now that, you know, I feel like I have a total new body this past year. Everyone said that first year after surgery is the toughest, and, you know, it wasn't easy by any means, but I knew what I had to do to get by. And here I am now. I feel much better than what I did early in the season. And I still got a lot left in me. And I know I can be elite for years to come. And that's what I work for each and every year. And that's what I'm going to do this offseason. And I'm hungry. You know, this is what has helped me make a career. And I'm so motivated. And I want to be the best out there. And once again, once these next couple weeks are done, I'm going to start training. And I'm going to try to be great out there again next year.
Kevin Kiermaier, age 33, different defensively from Kevin Kiermaier, age 23, 24.
My 21 through 28 was definitely my prime. And I wish you guys could have seen what I did in the minor leagues. I know looking back on it, I know in low A, when I was in low A, high A, double A, I was the best outfielder in baseball then as well. And obviously you have to develop in the minor leagues and hit. But looking back on it now, I knew my skill set then, and my arm and my speed was even better back then. And even breaking into the big league was when it was at the absolute best. But I know my tools are still at an elite level. I don't have a weakness out there. And that's, I don't want like going to my left or my right and back. I don't ever want to have any sort of weakness out there. I want to be elite in everything. And still, you know, probably lost a step, don't throw as hard, but I know that, you know, third base coaches, they still don't want to send guys on me time and time again. And I want them to, but I know my tools can still play. But yeah, definitely, you know, not what I was 10 years ago. But once again, I'm trying to age like a fine wine, and I can still produce and go out there and perform.
Two other quick things. Now, this is your day to celebrate, but the Blue Jays as a team led the majors in defensive runs saved. And I want to acknowledge one of your teammates. Dalton Varsho didn't win a Fielding Bible Award this year, but he did lead the majors in defensive runs saved. How did the presence of having him on one side and George Springer on the other help you?
Oh, it was phenomenal. It's the best outfield I've ever been a part of. Two guys who take a ton of pride in their defense. I don't think George gets enough credit for how good he was out there. I mean, he made so many huge plays for us all season. And Varsho, best outfielder in the big leagues. I watched what he did in left field when he got out to center. He is elite, and he's going to be elite for years to come. And he never takes a play off. Those are the guys I want to play next to. But it sure makes my job a lot easier when you got two guys on each side of you who take a ton of pride in their defense. And we all want to make plays out there. And we care, and that's why we had, you know, the best defense in the big leagues and certainly by far the best outfield.
Last question for Kevin Kiermaier. What's the best thing that someone ever taught you defensively?
You know, I feel like I'm my best self-teacher. I've had a lot of help along the way, but I had my outfield coordinator, Skeeter Barnes, with the Rays way back in the day, my rookie ball year. He told me, don't let the game change you, change the game. And that quote has stuck with me ever since. And you never let anything, your success or all that, change you. You always have to go out there and change the game and make people watch you and work the way you do. And I found a good recipe for success to help me, especially on the defensive side. You know, so many drills but batting practice is the best thing you could do. I could sit here and talk about defense all day. I took batting practice very seriously, shagging every day, and that helped just translate everything, you know, once we got on the field at 7 o'clock each night. And doing this for 13 years in a row now, I've just gotten better every year mentally and smarter out there. And that's what experience does. And that's a beautiful thing.
Kevin Kiermaier changing the game of baseball with his defensive play, the only player to win 3 Fielding Bible Awards for center field. Kevin, thanks for joining us. Enjoy your winter. We'll see you next year.
Thank you, Mark.
Let's move to left field, where the third place finisher from the Arizona Diamondbacks was Lourdes Gurriel Jr., finishing second in the voting from the Toronto Blue Jays, Dalton Varsho. And the winner of the 2023 Fielding Bible Award for left field is Stephen Kwan from the Cleveland Guardians.
Stephen Kwan is the only player to win a Fielding Bible Award in each of his first two major league seasons. He led all left fielders in defensive runs saved and good fielding plays in 2023.
He's our second winner from the Guardians, along with Andrés Giménez. Bobby, we've talked about him before. What's impressive about Stephen Kwan?
Just how much pride he takes in playing left field. We've talked about this. We talked about this during his interview that you conducted with him. Was it last year? Mm-hmm. We talked about that with Stephen Kwan, where just his preparation in left field, the things he does, the pride he has taken in playing that position for quite some time. And it started with, you know, I believe his dad and his high school coaches, and then obviously on into Oregon State where he started and eventually got drafted from. The amount of ground that he's able to cover and the understanding he had with former Fielding Bible Award winner Miles Straw in center field, who played most of the reps in center field for the Guardians this year. They have a good understanding, and it allows your left fielder to play left field like he's a center field, right? And having that freedom and having that understanding and the prep work that goes into it when you are away from Progressive Field and you're playing in a different ballpark, you just rarely see him make missteps. You rarely see him misjudge the wall. You rarely see him misjudge the ball. He throws a correct basis. And it's that attention to detail at that corner outfield position that, for me, makes him very elite at that position.
From defensive statistics perspective, at the beginning of the year, his numbers were not particularly good, and he was someone who kind of soared as the season went along. Let's move on to right field, finishing third in the voting for the Boston Red Sox, Alex Verdugo, finishing second in the voting from the Texas Rangers, Adolis Garcia. And the winner of the 2023 Fielding Bible Award for right field is Fernando Tatis Jr. of the San Diego Padres.
Fernando Tatis Jr. is the first Padres player to win a Fielding Bible Award. His 29 defensive runs saved in right field were the most for any player at any position in 2023. The next closest right fielder had only 9 runs saved.
This is an interesting one. Originally, we thought he was going to move from shortstop to center, but he doesn't displace Trent Grisham. They put him in right, and he's amazing there. What happened here, Bobby?
When you're evaluating, whether it be amateurs, whether it be, you know, even amateur players, whether it be high school or college or even international, a lot of times there's some thought to saying, just go get a bunch of shortstops. Was Fernando Tatis Jr. an elite shortstop in the major leagues? No, but he was a shortstop that major league teams felt comfortable playing him at shortstop. That tells you he can play virtually anywhere on the diamond. So then the next thing is, okay, you know, this happens a lot. Oh, this guy can really bang, so let's put him in right field. Well, two things. Number one, outfield's not easy. You know, a lot of people love to think that just put a guy, give him a big glove, let him run around out there. That's not the case. The second piece is, if you ask most people, and this, on why this is, I don't know, but if you ask most people which one they'd rather play, left or right, they will say left. And so he went, not only did he not go to the left, and he didn't go to center, which I believe is the easiest to play because you're the most unencumbered in center field. He went to right field, and that's a more difficult field to play, according to some. I never felt that way. I thought it was the same as left field. You just had to understand the angles. But a lot of guys feel that way. And he went to right field and became not just good, but elite. It speaks to his athletic ability. I think it speaks to his baseball IQ. Obviously, we know his dad was a longtime big leaguer. He grew up around the game. I don't know if he grew up in a clubhouse. Everybody loves to say that about legacy players. They grew up in a clubhouse. Some of these guys weren't even born when their dads were done playing, but he grew up around the game. And he wasn't going to be fazed by it. And I think, I will say this, I think he probably wasn't going to be fazed by the move because he was already an elite player. You know, maybe a lesser player is a little bit more fazed by that move, but he wasn't. And he was able to take, I always used to say that playing the outfield is just an extension of playing the infield. You still have to get preparation, pre-pitch preparation. You still have to have good feet. You still have to take good angles. You do all those things in the infield, and now you have more time in the outfield. And if you pay attention to detail, a good infielder should become a good outfielder. Not to mention, he has got an absolute 8 throwing arm. It is a cannon. It's elite. And people tried to run on him and he kept knocking them down to the point where they stopped running. So if you put all that together, you've got a special athlete, high baseball IQ with excellent feet that were good enough to play shortstop in the major leagues, and a 7, an 8 outfield throwing arm. You're going to have a good player. And we saw that with both his numbers and then also what the eye test showed you.
Talent, great talent, regardless of which position he played, for sure. So let's move on to catcher, where the young guys are taking over, finishing third in the voting from the Toronto Blue Jays, Alejandro Kirk, finishing second in the voting from the San Francisco Giants, Patrick Bailey. And the winner of the 2023 Fielding Bible Award for catcher is Gabriel Moreno of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Gabriel Moreno led all catchers in defensive runs saved. He was the best catcher at throwing out base runners and ranked second in our pitch blocking component of runs saved. He joins Jeff Mathis as Diamondbacks catchers to win the award.
This was a super close vote, and I think it's appropriate in a year in which stolen bases were so prominent that a catcher who could stop them wins the award, and he took his team deep in the postseason to the World Series in his second Major League season. Your thoughts on Gabriel Moreno?
I was so impressed with this young man. Admittedly, and this is interesting too, and I'm glad we can touch on this. We knew about Christian Walker a little bit, right? You have Gabriel Moreno. You keep seeing his name. And I did not watch a lot of Diamondback baseball this year. And one thing that Torey Lovello said during this playoff run, that his biggest win for this entire playoff run was the fact that the America, just beside the West Coast, in the AL and NL West, America gets to see our young players play. Gabriel Moreno is one of these young guys that just kept getting better and better and better and better. And then when I started to dig in and do the work for, you know, this voting, you go back, you look at some of the film, I watched one whole condensed game. This young man has, I watched a game where he had, I can't remember who was pitching, but it wasn't a young guy. It wasn't like a rookie guy, but it was a slightly a more veteran guy. And he didn't shake him one time. He blocked balls in the dirt, good range, both to his right and to his left blocking. And then to your point, the running game was non-existent. He just gunned people down. I mean, it was an accurate, strong arm, true throw through second base. It was amazing. And to watch this young man evolve and work throughout the season was tremendous to watch. And then I will say this, like I said, I'm going to give a shout to Alejandro Kirk, because let's be honest, Alejandro Kirk, you know, is a little bit more rotund of a player, and he gets knocked for that. But boy, you talk about quick and good in small spaces. Saw this young man when he was an A-ball with the Toronto Blue Jays in high A. The Blue Jays high A came to Bradenton when I was working for the Pirates, and this guy was the best player on the field. And it wasn't close. I mean, he could hit, he could catch, he could, you know, he was framing well, he could stop the running game, and watch his progression through the big leagues was amazing too. But boy, Gabriel Moreno this year, and then again, what he's done through this playoffs, leading this team several times, calling for the slider into the dirt. Just the other night in the Phillies game, calling for the slider in the dirt with second and third, a guy on third, and just as a pitcher, you can't execute that pitch unless you have full confidence that if I throw this ball in the dirt, he's going to block this ball, and he blocked every one of them. One was an absolute scud. So just watching him recently, but then doing the homework and digging in and looking at his numbers, and then look at how he went about doing it throughout the year, tremendous. He is very deserving. It was a close vote. Like you said, he was very deserving of this award.
Congratulations to Gabriel Moreno, who's headed to the World Series. Let's move on to pitcher. Finishing third in the voting from the Toronto Blue Jays, Jose Berríos. Finishing second in the voting from the Miami Marlins, Jesús Luzardo. And the winner of the 2023 Fielding Bible Award for pitcher is Zach Greinke of the Kansas City Royals.
Zach Greinke wins his third career Fielding Bible Award. This season, he passed Mark Burley to become the leader for defensive runs saved by a pitcher, the most since the stat was first calculated in 2003.
This might be the end for Zach Greinke. Tough year on the mound, but a good year in the field. Talk about stolen bases, as you just did with Moreno. Zach Greinke allowed only two all year, and no offense to him, but there was quite a lot of traffic on the bases against him. And he picked off five guys, which was more than he had in the previous eight seasons combined. Here's what Royals manager Matt Quartaro had to say about Greinke.
This is Matt Quartaro, the manager of the Kansas City Royals. I am extremely proud to have been able to be part of Zach Greinke's 2023 season, where he won the Fielding Bible Award for Best Defensive Pitcher. He's an incredibly gifted athlete, extremely aware of all situations going on the field, and he's adept at holding runners like no one I've ever seen. It was an honor to be a part of it, and I'm very proud that he's earned this recognition.
Bobby, what do you appreciate about Greinke as an athlete?
Well, again, I'm glad you said that. As an athlete, he's always seen himself as such. There's a great story that Mike Gersley was their third base coach for quite a while in Kansas City. But before that, for years and years, he was in player development for the Kansas City Royals. And actually, I played against Mike Gersley managed teams when I was in Iowa. He was in Omaha. But Greinke had gotten to the big leagues. He sent Greinke to the big leagues, and Greinke thought he was going in his office to get in trouble for something or whatever. And he looked at Gersh and said, hey, I want to go back all the way back down to A-ball and start over, and I want to play shortstop because I think I can be a big league shortstop. And that speaks to his mentality. He never saw himself as a pitcher. He saw himself as an athlete whose best position was pitcher. And I think that's a very important distinction to make with Zach Greinke. And the fact that at this, again, age and stage of his career, the attention to detail, understanding what this year was going to bring as far as controlling the running game, he clearly made it an effort to do so. And for me, this is one of the things that I think gets missed in what baseball looks like in 2023 and beyond, is that we talk about stopping the running game. We just talked about Gabriel Moreno and his ability to do so, but stopping the running game really starts with the pitcher. Your ability to manipulate the pitch clock, your ability to throw over when you need to, your ability to vary your looks and your hold with runners at all the bases is the single key to stopping the running game and then delivering a quality pitch at 1-3 or under at home plate. So that, for me, you talk about different points where pitchers would win fielding Bible awards. Sure, there's going to be balls in play where you have to make plays and you have to jump off the mound and handle bunts and maybe make those plays off the mound, those quick, you know, reaction stabs on the mound. Really and truly, with me, the fielding Bible award for pitchers starts and stops with stopping the running game, especially with Greinke, like you said, didn't have his best stuff this year, probably at the end of the road. The guts and guile can only take you so far at some point. But when he got him out there, he made him aware and made him aware that they could not just run wild on him. And I think that's important.
I fully expect that 10 years from now, we'll hear that Zach Greinke is a star in some other sport, whether it be bowling, golf, whatever.
Pickleball, something. He's going to pick
something. Yes, exactly. And speaking of two sport stars, we go to the multi-position award. We're going to talk about a two-sport star in a second. Finishing third in the voting for the St. Louis Cardinals, Tommy Edman. Finishing second in the voting from the Miami Marlins, John Birdie. And the winner of the 2023 Fielding Bible Award for multi-position play is Mookie Betts of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
This is Mookie Betts' sixth Fielding Bible Award, tying Angelton Simmons and Yadier Molina for the most all-time. Mookie was the only player in 2023 to record a positive defensive run saved at both an infield position and outfield position while playing at least 400 innings in each spot.
Marcus Lynn Mookie Betts. This guy never, ever ceases to amaze. His athletic ability, his attention to detail. He was on my teaching tape when I was working with the Pirates. He had like 10 plays on my teaching tape of what to do in right field. How do we handle this situation? How do you handle that situation? The ball driven over your right shoulder, ball driven over your left shoulder, ball coming in, closing the distance in terms of throwing to third base or throwing the home, the reverse pivot spin throw to a base. I mean, there's nothing he didn't do well as a right fielder. And again, you talk about the extension from being a second baseman to the outfield. You got to remember, when Mookie Betts came up, he was a second baseman, and there's some guy named Dustin Pedroia coming off an MVP that was blocking his path to the big leagues at second base. They asked him to go out the right field. They would have asked him to go out the center because they had another very good outfielder named Jackie Bradley Jr. who was standing in center field. And especially in Fenway, where right field is basically as big as most center fields in the big leagues, you need a guy who can really do it out there. But his ability to come into the infield and play effectively at second base and shortstop after not having done it for a long time is just remarkable. And so he didn't just do it well. He did it at an elite level, and also having an, and I know we don't talk a lot about this in the context of the Fielding Bible Awards, and that's kind of why the Fielding Bible Awards started, but what he did with the bat this year, it was elite. Having, in doing all of that, playing three different positions, not having played a lot of second base in a long time, having played virtually no shortstop in a long time, and then being able to do what he did offensively is just simply amazing, and just a testament to his athletic ability and his preparation as a player.
I feel like Mookie could play any position and be good. Even first base might be a little tricky at his height, but I think he would figure out a way. And I want to say, too, multi-position, we're looking for guys that play multiple positions. As we said, you could play 2, 3, 5, 6. Our ballot had 15 candidates. Mookie came out on top. We mentioned Birdie. We mentioned Edman. Edman won last year. A lot of other good guys out there. It's becoming such an important part of the game. Willie Castro, Zach McKinstry, a number of other players as well. And I mentioned two sports star. I fully expect that we'll hear that Mookie Betts threw a few 300 games in bowling this offseason.
Oh, fight. Exactly.
All right. Last award, Defensive Player of the Year. Suspense builds. First time that we've ever given this award here at Sports Info Solutions. Voters voted from 1 to 3 for anyone that qualified for the Fielding Bible Awards. Finishing in third place from the Cleveland Guardians, second baseman Andrés Giménez. Finishing second place from the San Diego Padres, right fielder Fernando Tatis Jr. And the winner of the inaugural Defensive Player of the Year Award, presented by Sports Info Solutions, Cabrian Hayes of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And we welcome back Cabrian Hayes, the Defensive Player of the Year for 2023.
It's a great accomplishment for me. Just very humbling. Just, it's crazy how I've kind of put myself in the conversation with like top defensive players in the league just because of how far I've came from. I mean, when I was 7, 8, like in basketball practice, trying to run backwards, I would trip and fall. So, I mean, just how far I've come, just glad I've listened to my brother and my dad, just glad that I was able to have them in my corner. And really just all the coaches that I've had, they've always fed me with the good knowledge. One of the quotes my high school coach always told me, he was like, you got to be extraordinary at the ordinary. So yeah, I mean, all that tedious, boring stuff that people call the fundamentals, I really just try to hone in on that. And then whatever bonus play that I make is a bonus. So I just try to go out there and make all the routine plays for my team.
You know, Key, that's interesting you said that. And I think we'll say it again for the folks in the back who didn't hear this. Your high school coach, be extraordinary at the ordinary. And I had a coach one time say, if you don't love the work, you don't get to work at what you love, right? And so, you know, you don't get those opportunities unless you lock down the fundamentals and the small things early on, because the game will pass you by and it'll get too good for you. And I think one of the things also, too, that you touched on it, you know, you played a lot of basketball growing up. And talk about the influence that playing multiple sports and just the ability to compete in multiple things. And you have a lot of people tell you got to play baseball year round. You got to do this. You got to do that. Talk about what playing different sports gave you in the opportunities and some of the things that allowed you to do on a baseball field by some of the other sports that you played.
Yeah, I think just growing up, playing as many sports as you can, just being in different types of environments as far as how many players you're playing with, the team aspect. I mean, to say on a basketball court, you're only playing with 5 guys. You're moving around a lot more. You're having to cut, all that type of stuff. And then the other sport I kind of played was football. Just really, I think just the athleticism side of it, that different environment. I mean, all the games are played differently, so you're learning different skills in each and every sport you play in. And yeah, I mean, I always, even if I wasn't in baseball season, like when I was playing basketball, football, I still did baseball. I I'm fortunate my dad had a baseball facility, so I was always getting my baseball work in too. But it's great, especially whenever you're young, while you can play as many sports as you can. And then whenever it's time around that 12, 13, 14 age, once you get to high school, I mean, even then you still can play all the sports. But for me, I knew baseball was going to be my best shot at the next level. So around high school is whenever I strictly wanted to just do baseball. But I mean, you learned a lot playing all the sports, and just that athleticism piece, I think, is huge.
Brian Hayes, the Defensive Player of the Year for the Fielding Bible Awards, also the winner at third base for the second time in 3 years. Congratulations on that. Congratulations on your season.
Thank you.
Best of luck this offseason.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Brian Hayes is very deserving of this Defensive Player of the Year from the Fielding Bible and SIS. He exemplifies everything that you want an elite defender to exemplify. He's able to make all the plays. His preparation, again, you know, dad World Series champion with the New York Yankees, Charlie Hayes, longtime excellent defender of that position, takes tremendous amount of pride in his ability to basically make people want to hit it somewhere else, because if they hit it to third base, you're going to make a right turn. And that's the mentality. He's had that mentality. So again, fortunately, I was able to have him work with him a little bit in the minor leagues with the Pirates during my tenure there. And just to see him, the everyday work ethic, the attention to detail from the physical side and the mental preparation side, understanding what the opposing lineup is offering, understanding what the pitcher on the mound for his team is offering, and making that part of his preparation and part of his understanding as to what he needs to do to get ready for a particular opponent that day, and then going out and being able to execute that. And I'll add this again, we talked a little bit about the bat with Mookie Betts. The bat had been a little bit disappointing for the majority of the year with Cabrian, but then even that ticked up at the end. So I think, you know, you talk about, I'm big on players being the most well-rounded players they can possibly be. And you're seeing that happen with Cabrian at this point. Well, you know, the glove is elite. The glove's been elite, and now he's going to get all the flowers he's been deserving in the last few years. But to see the transition of the young man into a more well-rounded player, and he's getting back to that level offensively that he's capable of getting to, and he'll get, you know, he'll, and beyond, he's a young man. So the best is coming for him on both sides of it, and I'm happy to see it.
Congratulations to Ke'Bryan Hayes, the Defensive Player of the Year. One last thing to close out the show. There were a lot of great players this season who didn't win a Fielding Bible Award. You've alluded to a few of them throughout the show. We each voted for newer players number one at their positions who didn't win. Bobby, you want to give a shout out to Taiwan Walker, Sean Murphy, and Brenton Doyle?
Well, let's start with Taiwan Walker again. You know, I think it's so important in today's baseball. You have a pitcher that is that and understands the value of fielding their position. And what fielding the position means. And I believe it starts with stopping the running game. You're not going to throw no hitters every time out. You're not going to walk people. You're going to have traffic. How you deal with that traffic, especially in baseball 2023 moving forward, it is important for you to be able to stop the running game. It starts with you, vary your looks, and then deliver a quality strike to home plate. And then, you know, when there's opportunities for you to make plays on the diamond, to make those plays. So Taiwan Walker did a great job of that. I voted him first, but you can't argue with Greinke because, again, you know, he did all those things well too, and I respect the process. So shout out to those guys there. And then for me, Brenton Doyle in center field. My goodness. Again, I was fortunate enough to watch a four-game series with him involved in against the Tigers this year. But you look at the highlights, and not just the highlights. You catch a Rockies game. And first of all, let's start with the physical size of center field in Denver. It is the largest by acreage in all of baseball. And, you know, you talk to the guys who have played that position there. You talk to Dexter Fowler. You talk to Ryan Spielberg. Spilly told me, he goes, I've never seen a Rocky center fielder patrol center field like he does. It was that impressive. And this is a guy, you know, the longtime broadcaster, longtime player, did it well at a high level for a number of teams in the big leagues and also for Cebu in Japan. He knows what he's looking at. And then when I saw him play, and then you continue to track the young man throughout the year, absolutely amazing the work that he did in center field there. So again, respect the process, but boy, yeah, it's hard. It's hard for me to think there's a better center fielder in the game than Brenton Doyle.
Brenton Doyle did it in Coors Field where, quite frankly, nobody that played center field has put up a good season if they played as much as Doyle has in center field. One other that you didn't mention, you want to give a shout to Sean Murphy?
Sean Murphy, absolutely. Yeah, Sean Murphy, tremendous defensive catcher. He came and did an excellent job, you know, when he's traded from Oakland to Atlanta this year. Obviously, the headlines in Atlanta were the offensive explosion that seemingly everybody on that team had, and rightly so. But you look at what Sean Murphy was able to do with a pitching staff that, while good, there was a lot of stop-start. And what I mean, there's a lot of people in and out of that rotation, in and out of that bullpen because of, you know, either injury or, you know, sometimes lack of performance. But when you have that many people to navigate, I mean, your job as a catcher is to help navigate your entire pitching staff through 27 outs of a major league game every night, right? And for him to be able to do that while performing offensively the way he did, with the amount of in and out and inconsistency that at times that Braves rotation had was amazing as well. So, big shout out to Sean Murphy.
I voted for a couple of guys as well. You already talked about Alejandro Kirk, and I think you articulated that well. One that I wanted to shout out was Carlos Santana, who played for the Pirates and the Brewers this year. First base, voted him number one. He led first baseman in defensive runs saved. And to be honest, I was a little, I don't want to say suspicious of that, but I was a little wondering of that. And at one point during the year, I went and I watched as much Carlos Santana as I could gather video on. And it was a lot better than I thought it was. I felt like his run save total was legitimized by watching that. Tim Kirchner likes to say, watch the games. I watched the film, and I was particularly impressed that someone as old as Santana has upped his defensive game. Maybe he was always a little bit better than we might have thought all along, but this year in particular, very good.
Yeah, I think when you talk about that, you have to remember, like, even at an advanced age, guys get better. Right. And I'm not saying that to bang on you. I'm just saying, like, these things do happen. And sometimes you discount that. And it better at different skills. The one thing I will notice about him, and I'm not sure what our numbers are on. So, you know, I think, again, this is my eyeball test. When I did look at Carlos Santana, he was really good picking the baseball at first base. And he saved this guy's a boatload of errors, throwing errors this year at first base. And I think for me, that was the part that jumped out the most. He made all the routine plays and he made a few plays that maybe in seasons past that he wouldn't have. But I just thought he was really good at the low ball coming to him at first base, and then the ball he had to pick, really good at those. And that was, again, this is anecdotal. This is my eye seeing the games I saw and doing the homework that I did and trying to put my list together, too. So, again, very impressive from Carlos Santana.
Shout out to Christian Walker, Andrés Giménez, Ke'Bryan Hayes, Dansby Swanson, Stephen Kwan, Kevin Kiermaier, Fernando Tatis Jr., Gabriel Moreno, Zach Greinke, and Mookie Betts. And this wraps up this episode. Remember to go to fieldingbible.com for all your statistical and informational needs, as well as the Sports Info Solutions website and on Twitter at @SIS_baseball, @Bobby_scales, and @MarkASimonSays. For Bobby and our producer, Justin Stein, I'm Mark Simon. Thank you for listening to the Fielding Bible Awards show presented by Sports Info Solutions.
Thank you for tuning in to the SIS Baseball Podcast. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. If you have any questions, email the show at mark@sportsinfosolutions.com or tweet us @sportsinfo_SIS.